Okay, we're in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're talking about light, and the message is children as light in the Lord. So Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 8, and we're going to go down to verse 14. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we study these words, these eternal words that you've given us, may they encourage us as believers to walk as children in light. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we went through verses 3 to 7 of Ephesians chapter 5 a few weeks ago, we learned an important truth that God has given us to apply to our lives, and that is we're not to be partakers with the unsaved. And verse 7 says, Be not ye therefore partakers with them. And in verses 3 to 6, reasons are given why we're not to do this, why our lives are not to become intertwined with the lives of the lost. And the first reason is the lost do sinful things that we shouldn't even mention among ourselves. Secondly, the unsaved will say sinful things that are not to be our part or our way of talking. And thirdly, the lost are not part of the family of God. They do not have any inheritance in the kingdom of God as they haven't repented, they haven't placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Their future is bleak as they will one day suffer the eternal wrath of God in the lake of fire. When we consider the word walk, in the book of Ephesians, there are a number of verses in Ephesians that talk about walk. Ephesians 2:10 says, For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. As new creatures in Christ, we're to think and act and do good works that God expects us to do. We're no longer to live just for ourselves in satisfying our flesh. Our walk must be worthy of the work that God has called us to do. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I urge you that ye may walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. People around us do not have any future. And we're not to live the way the lost live. We're not to be totally immersed in just satisfying our own desires of the flesh, whatever they are. Ephesians 4:17 says that the mind of the unsaved is vanity. That's because there's nothing to look forward to at the end of their lives. If you are an unsaved person, what have you got after you take your last breath? You've got nothing. Just a horrible, horrible eternal future. All the things that the lost buy, all the things the lost enjoy, and all the money they have and maybe have in their bank account, they're all going to disappear when they go to the grave. You cannot take any of that with you. We are not to have that mindset. We're not to walk in the same vanity of the minds of the unsaved. And that's what is said in Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And then, of course, very importantly, we're to walk in love. We're to love our Heavenly Father with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. That's the first and great commandment. And the second is we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Our love for others is to be just like Jesus loves us and gave himself a sacrifice to save us from the judgment and wrath of God. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Our walk in love must be a sacrificial walk. We must put aside our desires of the flesh to live for Christ. And, you know, sometimes that's hard to do. My flesh wants to do a lot of things to enjoy, so I can enjoy myself and life. You know, go down to the Bahamas or a nice island for a few weeks. Not that that's wrong, but when that's all I think about, when I only want to satisfy my flesh, I'm not walking in love, a sacrificial love, as Christ had for us. You know, when Jesus prayed to his Father the night he was arrested, he prayed that he would be spared going to the cross. But then he said, I'm going to do your will, not my will. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You see, our walk on earth is to be according to our Heavenly Father's will, not our will. And as we move on to consider Ephesians 5, verses 8 to 13, we find the subject of light is presented to us. And in the first 9 verses of John that Greg read, speaks of light. Verse 9 says, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And then in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, we're told that God our Father is light, and there's no darkness in him. Then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And our Heavenly Father in James 1:17, he's called the Father of lights. Everything about God the Father and God the Son is light. So doesn't it make sense that as born-again believers, we walk on this earth like our Heavenly Father and like our Savior? You see, you and I who have been saved are light in the Lord. And without faith in God, the Son, we don't have any light, do we? If you take a light bulb and you hold it in your hand, hold it up in the air, what's going to happen? Nothing. No light's going to come because there's no power source. You and I on our own, we have no light. Our light comes by the power of God, the instant of our salvation by faith in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:18, unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. God by his power saves us. We are light in the Lord by the power of God. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's 1 Peter 2:9. So as we look at verses 8 to 13, there are three things we must do as we live in light, as light of the Lord. The first is we must walk as children of light. Verse 8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Notice the verse says, we were sometimes darkness. What this means is we were living in darkness before we turned to Jesus Christ. We were walking in the darkness of sin and ignorance and unbelief. The darkness that the lost are walking in is a great darkness. Jesus says this in Matthew 6:23, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, the broad road that the unsaved are walking on is a very, very dark road. It might have the appearance of light and it's full of pleasure, it's full of ease. But the broad road to destruction has been lit by the devil, who has fooled people into believing that he is the angel of light. Satisfy your desires. You deserve this. So what if you want to practice immoral behavior? As long as you love your partner, as long as you are a loving person. But the devil has fooled people because he is an angel of light. That's what he has the appearance of. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The true light appeared to mankind 2,000 years ago when Christ was born in Bethlehem. And Isaiah prophesied this in 9 verse 2, that the people who were walking in darkness saw a great light. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. When a person believes or sees the light of Christ by reading Scripture or hearing Scripture, hearing the gospel, and when they believe in Christ and trust Him as their Savior, God delivers them from the power of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Are you thankful that God's delivered you from the power of darkness to the kingdom of his Son, to the light of the Lord? But Ephesians 5:8 says that as we're light of the Lord, we have a responsibility. We're to live differently than when we were in darkness. We are to walk as children of light. But now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. We're to walk in the Holy Spirit who indwells us. Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you look at verse 9 of this, of Ephesians 5, we're told what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. We must show this fruit of the Holy Spirit as believers as we walk as children of light. First of all, we walk in goodness. Goodness is when you conduct yourself in a way that is morally right. It's keeping yourself unspotted from the sins of the world and not taking part in things that grieve the Holy Spirit. Walking in goodness means you have a kind heart for others. You're quick to show charity when you're given the opportunity. Walking in goodness means you show compassion and mercy to people in all walks of life, in all situations. When we walk in all goodness, we're behaving just like our Heavenly Father, are we not? God is abundant in goodness. He told Moses this as he walked by Moses on Mount Sinai. We read in Exodus 34:6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. We're to walk in all goodness. Secondly, as children of light, we're to walk in righteousness. We're to have purity of heart with a desire to live holy lives just as God is holy. That's 1 Peter 1:15, 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Conversation means behavior in everything you do, because it is written, be holy, be ye holy, for I am holy. As believers who have faith in Christ, we have had his righteousness has been imputed to us, which means his righteousness was put on our account. Isaiah 61:10 puts it well. He says of the Lord hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Let's say a husband surprised his wife by giving her an expensive mink coat for Christmas. Hope I didn't give anything up, John. Not that you'd admit you'd have a fur coat these days with animal rights, but let's say you give your wife a beautiful mink coat and she puts it on and she's just in seventh heaven, this luxurious $10,000 coat. I don't know what they cost now. So when she goes out, she's very careful. She doesn't want to get a mark on that coat. So she behaves differently. She's more careful where she walks and how she gets in the car. What's the weather going to be like? She would act differently than when she wears her 25-year-old coat that she's had for a long time. See, we have the robe of righteousness on us. So we're to behave differently. We're to be careful not to live in the ways we used to live that are in opposition to righteous living. We're to be holy in all manner of life. We are to fall into sin. Paul warns us about this in Romans 6:1-2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Also, thirdly, as children of light, we're to walk in truth. And there, you can look at it in a few different ways. The first, the obvious, is we're to speak truth to others, right? Ephesians 4:25, wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We're not to deceive one another by telling lies or telling half-truths. We're just to say true words. We're not even to tell minor lies. You know, you make an excuse why you don't want to see somebody and you give them a reason, but it's not the truth. Instead of saying, well, I just don't really feel like going today, you might say, well, I got something coming up. And, you know, we're not to do that. But, you know, aren't you thankful? I know I am. I'm thankful that God does not lie. Not only does he not lie, he cannot lie. He will never lie. Our hope of eternal life rests on his truth, on him being true. Psalm 105 says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Secondly, we're to speak the truth of the gospel. We're to tell our neighbor and tell our friends and our family about salvation. We must tell them the truth so they may place their faith in Jesus Christ. We can't just give them a sugar-coated little pill. We got to say, look, if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, you face the judgment and wrath of God when you take your last breath. Our hope should be that the lost will be redeemed when they place their faith in Christ, and they will be set free from eternal death and punishment. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Also, the truth is to be preached at church or when there are Bible studies. In his letter to the Galatian Christians, Paul pointed out they had corrupted the gospel. Some were teaching that one must not only have faith in Christ, but they had to keep the law. If you didn't keep the law, you weren't really saved. Paul told them the truth, that anyone who preaches a false gospel or a gospel other than the true gospel is accursed. And this caused the Galatians to consider him to be their enemy because he told them the truth. He said in Galatians 4:16, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" I've had people mad at me for speaking the truth, but you can't sugarcoat the truth. We must worship our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's John 4:24. If truth is not being taught from the pulpit, the church will go astray. For it's the truth of God's word that keeps us walking as children of light. And when we take it and apply it to our lives, Psalm 25:4-5 says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation, and on thee do I wait all the day." We must walk as children of light. And secondly, we must establish what is acceptable to the Lord. Verse 10 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving means establishing. We're to make sure our thoughts, our actions are acceptable to God the Father. That requires our lives to be transformed to be from living the world's way to living God's way. And this means our lives, our minds must be renewed. So our way of thinking is the way that God wants us to think. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's Romans 12:2. How do we do this? We do this by reading God's word. We do this by hearing God's word. Your Bible and my Bible must be open regularly. We must read it, take it to heart. I was an engineer for many years, and I've talked to other engineers. I've talked to Colton about engineering things. And when you're an engineer, you talk a certain way, right, Colton? Like engineers, they have a different language in a way. Because we were trained at an engineering school. And we read engineering textbooks. We listened to engineering lectures. And this enabled us to do the work that engineers have to do. You see, as Christians, we're to learn God's word to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And this will enable us to think and act as children of light. But it's not a two-week process. It takes time and effort on our part. Many churches have strayed from God's word because it hasn't been taught from the pulpit. It hasn't been read by the members in their homes. We must resist this trend to bring the world's ways into our church or to work at renewing our minds through reading God's word and then applying it to our lives. We're not to conform to this world. We're to renew our minds and look forward to the day when we'll be conformed to the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's Romans 8:29. There's one more point I want to briefly discuss. It's we must reprove the works of darkness. Verse 11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Reprove means to strongly disapprove, to find fault with. To reprove means to criticize and correct gently. Not only are we to stay clear of sinful activity, we're to reprove it. And the works of darkness are all the things that people do in the flesh. The Corinthian church, they were guilty of not reproving the work of darkness. They were continuing to have fellowship with a man who was, I've talked about this before and you read it in your Bibles, they were having fellowship with a man who was living with his stepmother. Now that's pretty awful when you think about it. But these two continued to attend church while committing adultery. And no one in the church dealt with it. Paul had to reprove the church for them not dealing with this sinful behavior of fornication, and he instructed them to banish the man from the church. He said in 1 Corinthians 5:13, "Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person." We are to reprove all the works of darkness from among us, because if they're allowed to stay in a church, it'll corrupt the church. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians about this subject, he said, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" 1 Corinthians 5:6. And Ephesians 5:12 continues to tell of the seriousness of works of darkness. He said, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." We meet at church, we worship our Heavenly Father, but we're not to spend our time speaking about the unfruitful works of darkness. They don't strengthen our faith, right? The works of darkness are things we're not to do. They're things we're not to even talk about. What we're to talk about and read about are the words of God that give us light. They're the words that give us hope, that give us joy, that give us peace. It's God's word that exposes darkness, right? That's why verse 13 says, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." God's word exposes darkness because God's word is the light that shines through the darkness of sin and makes it clearly visible. Hebrews 4:12 tells of the power of God's word to get at the very heart of a person's sin that's hidden in their heart. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." We believers are God's children who are light in the Lord. We have been adopted by Him through faith in Jesus Christ. So as children of God, we're now to live as the Lord expects us to live. We're to walk as children of light, which means we're to live holy lives as God is holy. And you know, that's a battle. It's a battle for all of us. We're to establish what behavior and way of thinking is acceptable to the Lord. That's why I think this is a good outline for all of us to read. And we're to reprove the works of darkness. We're to have no fellowship with the works of darkness. It says in 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And then in verse 14, just close with this, we're being prodded to wake up. "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." This verse is so appropriate for the Christian church in North America today. Many have become like the Laodicean church. Members are very comfortable in their material wealth. Revelation 3:17, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." We must not fall asleep and surrounded by our material things. There's a world full of lost souls. They're perishing in their sins. They're heading down that broad way to eternal destruction. You see, for us to reach lost souls, we got to show the light of Christ. But we must awake from our material comforts to show the light of Christ. Those things we have will not last. All the things we have will get old. They'll break. I can't believe how old some of the stuff I've got is. And it's starting to break. But the Word of God, His eternal Word, that we use to bring souls to Christ, is an eternal Word. And when we live in the light of Christ, His light will shine for others to see. And hopefully that'll lead them to glorify God and become one of His children. So many people are heading to hell. You know, when we were at the Santa Claus parade, I don't know how many Christians there were, but I bet there weren't that many. And we just passed out 1,000 tracts. That's not very many when you consider how many people were there, and very few people probably read them. We don't know. But I'll just close with some verses in Matthew chapter 5. I like these verses, 14 to 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we would continue to grow as believers. And I pray, Lord, that we all would walk as children of light and be less concerned about worldly matters, be less concerned about things on earth, and be more concerned about things in heaven. I pray, Lord, that we would have a compassion for the lost souls that we know, no matter who they are, whether they're poor or rich, and neighbor, stranger, and that we would just have a desire to bring them to Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.